to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And oh boy, do we have two movies tonight. One of them were the result of a dare. Me watching
That's
it.
Not a dare as it just like a commandment, I guess.
It's like, you're like, I need to know what this movie was. I'm like, I'll try. And I did try.
Yeah.
What the hell? But you know what? We'll get there. First up, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is it unbelievably freaky watching horror movies in the middle of the night in a big house all by yourself?
I don't watch them in the middle of the night. I watch them before I go to bed.
But it is dark out.
It is dark out. The house makes weird noises. I'm by myself. It's freaky. Yes.
You might be transforming into a mid-afternoon horror movie viewer.
I used to do that, but I work during the day. So all my movie watching has to happen in the evening.
No! Oh, this is going to be a rough couple of weeks.
So, yeah. Oh, mind you, I don't know if it's going to make much of a difference when I'm no longer by myself.
Okay. Oh, this is so... I must be creepy, though. Like, it must be creepy.
Well, okay, so the other night, I heard a weird noise.
Right.
And, like, the house... Like, there are weird noises in the house, and normally I know what they are, but this sounded like breathing.
Okay.
And it just... It lasted, like, it was just a second, but I was like, what the fuck was that? But I didn't want to investigate.
Just the vents. There's definitely not a hider in the house.
No,
just
there, the vents. No, there actually can't be. That's not possible.
She said, desperately searching around the room with her eyes.
But it really did freak me out. And then I heard like another weird noise. I'm like, no, that came from outside.
See,
I think.
The one thing for me is because I do live in an apartment complex, I just hear noise all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I imagine if I heard a noise recognizably within my unit, I would be freaked out. But I'm so inured to just hearing walls coming through the floors, ceiling, and walls. And even outside when we have, like, and this is true. I don't know what it is about the acoustics of this area, but in the winter when I keep windows open, right, I can hear people's conversation on the street 250 feet away. It's very strange, but it's like, I can't really make out what they're saying, but as long as someone is speaking loudly, I can hear them talking. So I'm just used to noise around me all the time. But yeah, you, this nice, modern, quiet house, and then suddenly...
Oh. I think it was me. I was brushing my teeth while it happened, so I'm like, maybe that was just like...
An involuntary gasp you did while catching your breath.
Maybe, I don't know.
I hope that's what it was.
It did freak me out. I'm not gonna lie.
All right. Okay, so moving right along, I'm gonna recommend a video game to people. Usually I wait until I've actually played the full game before I recommend something, but I just played a demo of a thing that comes out next week, and I know that like launch week metrics are really, really important for video game sales. Like, it lets you, basically, everything gets sold on Steam on PC, and how big your first week is basically determines how much Steam is going to promote your game. So, everybody, pre-order a little something called Blasphemous. It's a Dark Souls-style, brutal sword-fighting game, but it's all 2D like Castlevania. It looks gorgeous, it has... incredibly intricate, gory animations for the bloody combat in it. And the whole thing is, like, Christian religious iconography themed. Mm-hmm. So the villain is a... Well, the villains are all, like, guys who have pulled themselves off of crosses. They are guys who are wielding candelabras weapons. There is a hover pope, which is a pope in a hover chair who attacks you with a spear. It's a great look. And the main character you're playing as has a giant Inquisitor's helmet on. And he is called the Penitent, and his, you know, the punishment he is paying for a life of sin is destroying monsters for the church. But I assume it's way, way, way more complicated than that when you actually get into the story. but it's an unbelievably gorgeous game, super gory, great gameplay. It's called Blasphemous. You don't even have to buy it. Just go to Steam and put it on your wish list, because that also helps them get this game out to the eyes of more people.
Cool.
Yeah. So, how about you? I understand you've been watching some television.
Yeah, so I watched a couple episodes of a show on Netflix called Till Death Do Us Part.
Okay.
Have you seen? This sort of popped up. It's like Black Mirror, only episodes are like 25 minutes long, and it's Chinese.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that sounds like the thing I would have checked out, so I know why you asked. But yeah, I just missed this.
Yeah. So I've seen two episodes. I saw one about this woman who's obsessed with her social media profile, but she's actually stealing someone else's pictures.
Oh.
And posting them as her own. And then she meets a guy and she starts having a nice time with this guy, but she still like has this fake life on Instagram.
Okay.
And then that all goes to shit. I'm not going to tell you why.
No, of course not. That's the twist.
And then the other one is a guy stuck in a time loop, and I love a time loop. So.
Time loops are great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
How many episodes of this are there?
I think there's like 8.
Okay.
Not that many of them. But yeah, right. So it's like a Chinese Black Mirror, but only 25, 27 minutes long.
Oh, so like classic Twilight Zone length. Like they get in, they make their point, they get out. They don't drag it out the way Black Mirror has a tendency to do.
Correct.
Okay. You know, I know this isn't at all what we're talking about, but if it wasn't way too depressing to make a show, a reality show about catering funerals, Till Death Do Us Party would be a really great name.
Oh my god!
For that reality show that is too depressing to exist.
Terrible. I think just like hold that name for okay. Like a ridiculous horror comedy about like funeral caterers.
Okay, we'll hold on to that one.
Yeah.
Just, I'm like, when you said it, I'm like, as you were saying, Till Death Do Us Part, I'm like, Till Death Do Us Party?
Party?
Is all that appeared in my head. I was really hoping that was going to be what you were talking about. In that one, you know, iota of a second, that tiny little piece, the whole idea of that reality show just appeared in my mind. As if I was struck by lightning. By
great that. Title. Bad idea.
Terrible idea. No, yeah. You can't make that show. It's a terrible idea for a show.
Yes.
Love the title, though. We may save it for something else. All right. Next up, as per usual, we have a list to look over.
We do have a list. So this list coincides, obviously, with the movie we watched this week. Also, it's the first week back to school. Didn't plan to actually watch a school-themed horror movie for the first week of school. It just worked out that way.
Perfectly, yeah.
So this week's list is scariest movies set in schools.
Ooh.
And I know we did a similar list in the past. This is from Ranker.
Okay.
And we're just going to do, I guess, the top 20.
Yeah, because it's an 85 movie list.
It's actually 39.
That's still way too many. There aren't that many scary movies set in schools. Just, that's a fact. All right.
Okay, so beginning with number 20, Final Destination 3.
Not set in a school. Next. Like, what are you talking about? Not 1 minute of that movie is set in a school. Yeah, they are high school students who go on a school trip to an amusement park and almost get killed, but it's like, the rest of the movie is largely not at the school. I think here's the guy who's a football player who gets his head crushed between weights. I think he's at a school when that happens, like he's in the gym room. But it's like all of the kills in that movie don't happen at school other than that, like, one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a crazy thing to call a school movie. Okay.
Okay, number 19, Prom Night.
See, there you go! I was about to say, like, I wouldn't even call Scream a high school, because it's not set at a high school. Yeah, Henry Winkler gets set at the high school, and she gets chased at the high school, but it is not a high school horror movie. But yeah, Prom Night, that is a high school horror movie, because it's all about high school and the high school experience and the tensions of prom, and there's a giallo style killer running around. So yeah. No, that thing's great.
Okay, number 18, Village of the Damned.
That one's a little tougher. I guess the main character is a school teacher, right?
Well, this is the 1960s one.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Mark Hamill one.
Yeah, that's tough. Why did you call that the Mark Hamill one and not the Christopher Reeve one?
Because I remember that movie.
They're both in it, but it's just such a weird way to describe that.
I remember him in it. I don't remember Christopher Reeve.
Well, Christopher Reeve's the main character. He's just the drunken priest.
Yeah, and that's what I remember. I don't know why you're having a hard time with this.
No, I'm just saying. Like, Christopher Reeve is the star of the movie. I'm not saying you have to. Just for accuracy's sake. No, it's interesting because, yeah, a bunch of that takes place at school, but it's really about the whole community's reaction to all of their kids being replaced by space alien experiments than it is, like, in any way school-focused.
No, but I don't think very little of the movie about school. It just says set in school.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying most of the movie is not set in a school, and I think there has to be a threshold. And I don't think that movie meets it. But please continue.
Number 17, Ginger Snaps.
Whew. I don't remember Ginger Snaps at all. So I can't weigh in on this.
I don't remember Lucy Lawless being in this movie.
Lucy Lawless? Wait, is this that recent Ginger Snaps that just came out?
It says from 2000.
Oh, then no, it's not. Lucy Lawless was in Ginger Snaps?
I don't know. That's what it says. I don't remember her being in that.
Wow. Is there like a other Ginger Snaps franchise we're forgetting?
No, I think we're just forgetting who she was in the movie. And you don't like the movie to begin with, so...
No, I don't. No, like I said, I don't remember liking it very much at all, and I barely remember the movie. But yeah, I don't remember Lucy Lawless being in it. What does it say about it?
I don't know. It just says that she's in it.
Oh, okay. Continue.
But it's set in and around high school.
No, totally. That's one is way more valid.
I think that one counts. Yeah,
totally.
Okay, number 16, Fear.
Oh, Mark Wahlberg Stalker, yes. Yeah. Sure, yeah. She's like 15 in that movie, and a bunch of the scenes take place in high school. I think I'm going to give them this one.
I don't remember a lot of it being at school.
Not a ton of it, but I think there's enough that you might want to say that because she is a high school student and he does stalk her in and around her school, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not on a disturbing behavior level where obviously, yeah, that's a school movie, but, you know.
Yeah.
I would kind of give them this one.
All right. Number 15, Carrie.
Oh, yeah. The ultimate high school horror movie in a lot of ways.
Totally. Although, weirdly, they picked the remake.
Oh, I've never seen the remake.
Me neither. I didn't see the point.
Yeah, no. Why bother? I haven't seen Carrie 2 either.
No. Again, Carrie I'm too. Not sure if I the care rage. To.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, that might be an interesting thing to do sometime. Watch Carrie 2 and Carrie the remake and see how they did.
Anyway.
Continue.
Number 14, Jeepers Creepers 2.
Well, it's a school trip.
It's a school bus. School. Yeah, no. But by that logic, then Final Destination
counts because that's a school trip. You're absolutely right. By my own logic, there's no way this counts because their bus just gets sidelined while on their way to a football game or back from a football game.
It doesn't matter.
No, you're right. It's a terrible movie. Why am I nitpicking that? All right, go.
Number 13, I Know What You Did Last Summer. I would need to see this again.
Nope. The film, literally the first scene of the film is set on graduation night. None of the film is anywhere near high school. And graduation then... Night.
I thought it would be like in the fall.
No, because it's the end of... it's a 4th of... It's not graduation night. It's a 4th of July party. I'm not even right about that. It's a 4th of July party when the movie opens. Right. And then they kill that guy and then everyone breaks apart and then everybody has a bad year. And then they come back the next year for the 4th of July celebrations. And that's when all the murders happen.
Oh.
So, okay. Yeah, like, I mean, unless you're calling the one scene she spends in college with her roommate that this is school related. No, there is nothing at all school related about I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I still think I need to see it again.
Okay, no, I mean, you can check, but you can check my work, but there's more school, college in that case, in I still know what you did last summer, than there is in this one.
I always know what you do every summer. That'd be the third one.
There was a third one called I Will Always Know What You Did Last Summer. So, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was just making a really bad joke.
That would have been amazing. It's about that guy's ghost coming back to haunt unrelated people.
Well, don't ruin it for me.
You find that out in the first minute of the movie. Come on. I'm not spoiling anything. Oh, wait. You're being sarcastic. You're never going to watch that movie. Strong point. All right. Go.
Number 12, a movie I did not enjoy, Jennifer's Body.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, it's high school. It totally counts. I would say it counted more if they had the budget to do what was obviously the original ending, that the big showdown was supposed to happen at prom.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously ran out of money and they couldn't do that. But you're right. 100% Jennifer's Body counts. It's totally a high school movie.
Yeah. Which is school. It doesn't have to be high school.
I know, but I'm saying it specifically is a high school movie.
Well, get ready to be upset with this next one. Number 11 is Black Christmas.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's all set during the Christmas break from university.
No, but it's not set in a school. It's set in a sorority house.
Yeah, like, I don't know that any character actually... I'm trying to think, does any character ever go to a school?
No, because it's Christmas.
Well, no, I think Care Delay, like, the practice room he's working on, like... that they go to, the piano practice room they go to, that probably is on school property, but that is the closest I can say to there being any real school connection. But you're right, being set at a sorority house on or adjacent to campus does not make it a school-themed movie at all. Mm-hmm. You're totes right about that one.
Number 10, The Craft.
Aww. Love now that's movie. A high school movie.
Totally counts.
It's basically Mean Girls, but with, you know, witches.
Yeah, and but this
also
first.
long before Mean Girls. You're right. I guess Mean Girls is really The Craft without witches.
Oh, number God. 9, Urban Legend.
Yeah, 100% set in a campus.
Yeah.
It is a completely school themed movie. That's a really good observation.
I also need to see this one again.
It's fun. It's
I should
a lot
have a
of
little
fun.
Like 90s slasher film festival.
Oh, that is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. My God, like catch up on that weird trend of 90s slashers.
Totally.
Also give me a chance to rewatch Disturbing Behavior.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Oh man. Yeah, okay, we should make a list of stuff for us to cover in our an ongoing looking back at the 90s 20 years later.
Well, maybe we can add number 8 to the list because it's The Faculty.
Oh, The Faculty's so good. Please tell me I'm not remembering this wrong and The Faculty is actually really good.
I don't remember. It was 20 years ago.
But at the same time, it's got Elijah Wood in it. I feel like you would have seen it again.
I know, it seems like something I would do, but I haven't rewatched it.
Wow. Oh, yeah, we're definitely... Okay, now as we're going through this list, this is something we're definitely doing. Oh my God, there's so many of these things I want to check out again. All right, next up.
Number 7, Freddy versus Jason.
Oh.
I mean, I love it, but I don't think it counts.
Such a stretch. Like, yeah, they're in high school for one scene, and nothing scary happens there.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's about high school-age students doesn't make it, you know, in any way school-related.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the age of the people. That's like saying, well, Friday the 13th, those people are on summer break from college when they're working at this summer camp, so obviously... It's school related. Like, no. That doesn't count. Yeah, like, literally, like, any Nightmare on Elm Street, any random Nightmare on Elm Street is closer to being high school. In fact, I'm trying to think. 1, high school themed. 2, high school themed. 3, they're in an asylum, so no. 4, high school themed. 5, high school themed. Like, of the first 5 movies, 4 of them are explicitly set in and around a high school. So, yeah. Next up?
Number 4. Sorry. Number 6 is Scream 4. Ugh.
That's a tongue twister, but Of all of the Scream movies, it is the most, I think, school related.
Is it?
Yeah. Because they have a bunch of scenes. There's the scene of the film, like the film club that does the horror movie, the screening of Stab, is like central to the plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's all set in and around the high school. Gail goes to the high school to talk to the film club people.
I watched it recently. I know what happens in this movie.
Okay, just making sure. So I think that's enough to count.
Yeah.
Over, okay. I would say, the original Scream, which just has one killing and one chase set in there, and it's barely related.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number five, Halloween H2O. A movie I love and I don't care who knows.
No, it's not a good movie, but it's fine to love Halloween H2O.
So great.
And yeah, entirely set
short,
in a school.
It's tight.
Oh my God. There is no fat on that movie. There isn't.
You have to love it for that.
It's like an 80-minute movie. Respect, guys. You're not wasting our time. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I really genuinely like that movie as well. And I'm sad all of those have been erased from continuity, because that movie's a lot of fun. Okay, yeah. 8 is garbage. The film that came right after it is complete, just complete, irredeemable trash. But that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, number 4, Final Destination.
Yeah, again, I've already said Final Destination 3 doesn't count. How am I going to do? Oh, well, they were going on a school trip. Well, then they're not in school, are they?
So in Final Destination, are they also in a school? Yeah, I guess they are.
Yeah,
right?
It is. They're going to France.
Yeah.
They're going to France as part of a whole school trip. But no, again, we're not going to, if we didn't give it to Jeepers Creepers, we're not going to give it to Final Destination. In fact, they like cancel school for the rest of the year because everyone's so sad about all of those dead children. So it's like really not a school themed movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Number 3, get ready to talk back or walk back, which you said earlier.
I'm going
Scream
to.
Scream 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, now that I understand that it's not just high school, 100% Scream 2 is entirely set in it. I keep thinking, and you can, like, listen to me and confirm this, I keep thinking it's only high school. But you're right, of course. Scream 2 is the most Scream school movie of all time, because it's 100% on a university campus. School plays, spends time in classrooms, like, people who work at the school are characters. Like, no, it is absolutely the most school Scream movie. And I totally forgot that it counts, because, you know, it's college.
Number 2.
Yeah.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Thank you! Okay. I was worried they were going to miss it, because they put, you know, Freddy versus Jason on there, which means they kind of don't know what they're talking about, but they bought it back. Yeah, and again, it has that amazing sequence where she sees, where she has the dream about chasing the body bag down the hallway to the boiler room. God, that's such a good scene.
Ready for
so
number
beautiful.
One?
I'm probably not, but okay, hit me.
Carrie.
Oh, God, they put 2 Carries on the list?
Well, this is the problem with Ranker.
You can't
right?
do
Anybody
that.
Can add anything to the list and
I
just
know.
Gets upvoted or downvoted.
Like, you can't put both Carries on a
list. I know,
list.
It's bullshit.
No, yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous, guys. Come on. Take yourselves seriously, Ranker. Like, once you see that there's a Carrie on the list, A, make sure it's the original Carrie, but B, then, like, any other votes for the other Carrie, shift that bad boy over, you know? Come on.
Or just don't allow whoever moderates this stuff, just don't allow the remake on the list.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect way to do it. Yeah, just don't allow it. That'd have solved that nicely. You know what I'm sad isn't on here?
What?
Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
Oh,
way better movie than Prom Night. Super entertaining.
Yeah, I don't think it's down here in the ones we
miss.
Like, below 20.
Yeah.
No,
it's too bad, because it is 100%, like, almost every scene of the movie is set at a high school. It's about ghost possession. It is a fun ride from beginning to end. And I was reminded of it recently, because How Did It Get Made did a video, a podcast about it. And they had never seen the movie, and I'm like, I saw they were going to do it, I'm like, is that movie as crazy as I remember it? And according to their podcast, yes, it is.
Is that a live episode or not live episode?
I think it's a live episode. Wow. I've been going through the stuff. I've been going back through a bunch of the stuff I missed because you told me I had to listen to their thing about Jason Statham's.
Did you listen?
Yes.
Is it not the funniest thing ever?
Honestly, they're endless bits about Jason Statham talking about LA with their Jason Statham accents is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Oh, Carry to the Rage, or whatever you want to call it, is on this list. It's number 28. Okay.
So we just missed it. All right. I'm sad that Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 didn't make it, though, because that was...
Oh, that's what you're talking about, right? Yeah.
I already forgot. Okay. Well, I did change the subject to How Did It Get Made. So. Not entirely your fault. All right. So we did actually watch movie. Oh, no, wait. That's a bunch of school-themed horror movies. Damn it!
Oh,
I should have looked at the list.
Oh, so
bad. I wonder if they're going to make any more of those.
Well, I checked around. It turns out they are, because Yay! This week's upcoming horror movie is called Snatchers.
Oh, okay.
I really hope it's not a disgusting pun.
It can't be.
Well, I think it is, because listen to this. Oh, no. Sarah is one of the cool kids. She's got the right friends, makes the right jokes, and is totally terrified of losing her status. She'll be a lot more secure if she can win back her super hot ex, Skylar, but he's not interested unless they move to the next level. Oh. Sarah decides to take the plunge without protection, but soon discovers Skylar isn't just horny like a normal teenage boy. Something changed on his summer trip to Mexico. Something extraterrestrial. I'm not done. When Sarah wakes up the next morning, 9 months pregnant, she turns to the only person she can trust, her nerdy ex-best friend, Haley. The girls soon realize this alien problem is only just the beginning. Ultimately, this is a story of teenage girl finding her self-worth and learning to accept her choices by killing aliens and saving the world.
Oh my god. So it's a comedy, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, although it would be great if after all that, you'd be like, no, it is a serious drama. It is a serious drama. About date rape. What? No. Okay. Snatchers. Okay, well, that's pretty silly. But I am mildly interested. Is it from anyone of consequence?
Not to me, no.
Okay. So the names mean nothing.
The names mean nothing to me. The only thing it says here is described as a horror comedy, quote, in the vein of Mean Girls, Gremlins, and Shaun of the Dead, about friendship, self-worth, and aliens, end quote. But aliens aren't in any of those movies listed.
No, they aren't. But so, I do understand, like, they're trying to express the vibe they're going for, and I think that does make it clear enough.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm excited to watch that, but at least I understand what they're getting for. And honestly, I'm not saying no one should ever make another horror comedy after Detention. But, you know, on some level I do believe that we don't need any
more Tucker and Dale come out before or after?
No, that came out way before.
That was way before?
Yeah, way before. No, you're right. I would be a fool if I said that. And I mean, we both actually liked You Might Be the Killer. Like, that thing was fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, and it's like, after Detention, it might on some level feel like a dead genre.
I don't know if that's true. I think it just depends on the script.
You're absolutely right.
Even if we're retreading the same ground, it can still be fun. There's a reason why I watch Airplane and Airplane 2 over and over again, because those jokes don't get old.
They don't. They really don't. All right, so let's move on to our main subject of the evening. A movie that I don't understand at all?
Oh, you want to talk about that one first?
Yeah, I do. You know what? We're going to talk about that one for longer, so let's do the other one first.
All right.
I just realized there's a lot more to say about one of these movies than the other.
Okay, so our first movie this evening is called Eerie. A guidance counselor at an all-girls Catholic school befriends a ghost in order to figure out how a girl died on campus a couple of days ago. That's not actually what happens, but...
Not really, but, I mean, you've just spoiled a lot of the movie.
No, because you know she's a ghost, and you know there's a dead girl. That's all right at the start of the movie.
That's true. But it's a lot more complicated than
that. It's way more complicated than that, yes.
And one of the things I really liked about this movie is the opening of it, like, serves as the best example of ever that, like, shooting something in slow motion with creepy music makes the most mundane things in the world, like, incredibly creepy. Because it's just, like, girls doing calisthenics in their uniforms at this Catholic school, but it's slow panning shots with eerie music in slow motion. I'm like, if I sped this up and took out the music, there would just be nothing here.
Yeah, it made me weirdly happy. The filmmaker.
Oh, no, I think it's a great example.
Yeah.
It's a great instance of the power of, you know, the right soundtrack and correct cinematography. Like, you can find scares anywhere, people. You just have to know what you're doing. But yes, it is about that roughly and a bunch more. And yet another movie about how, man, Catholic schools are just bad places to be.
So I'm watching this movie and I didn't know anything about it going on other than like some headline I read somewhere about it being really scary.
Yeah.
I need to stop putting stock in that stuff because it's never the scariest movie ever.
Not at all.
It is creepy.
No, it's moody and it's creepy, but I would not say this thing has, like, good scares. I did have a half jump once, and it's the sketching scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, I know it was an obvious scare, but it got me.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly the face is there, like, that one legitimately got me. But
wasn't quite prepared, because there's a lot of, like, stuff with mirrors, and you keep expecting things to appear in the mirror, and then they don't.
Yeah.
And then other stuff happens. I'm like, all right, you set me up for that one. Yeah, but the sketching scene, it's like, okay, classic move. Well done, well timed.
Yeah, it was very well done.
I think the most arresting image, though, and it wasn't necessarily like a scary moment, but it's when Pat, the guidance counselor, is in the bathroom and she sees like the mother superior hoisting up the body.
Right.
I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, that's a hard one to take.
That's intense.
Yeah, and it was a good visual, and it was just creepy to watch. Yeah. But the film has a lot, like, whoever the director is has a really good sense of crafting those visual scares. Mm-hmm. Like, because fundamentally, at its core, like, the story is doing nothing new, it's not breaking any ground, it's just very well told and an extremely well-produced film. Like, it just, it looks good from beginning to end. It was always a pleasure to actually be watching the movie. And that's not always the case.
I kept forgetting it was set in 1995.
Yes! No, I know.
But maybe that's because I'm completely unfamiliar with the Philippines from the mid-90s. I know, so. Right?
There's no reason for us to remember, except nobody has a cell phone is the only real...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you could actually tell
she's using an analog voice recorder. Like, she's using a tape recorder.
Yeah, she's got the tape recorder, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and then she takes out the tape recorder and clicks it to start recording stuff or checking stuff.
Mind you, I didn't have a digital recorder in the night.
For quite a while.
Yeah, so whatever. Maybe I'm just being a weirdo. I also didn't know this was Filipino. So I'm like watching this movie and I'm like, what language are they speaking? It took me a while to piece it together. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I am pretty sure they're speaking Tagalog. All right.
Yeah. Well, and like... especially because they constantly drop in English now and then.
Yes.
There's so much English in there. And it's because, famously, Tagalog doesn't have enough words. It has one of the smallest number of words of any major language spoken by millions of people. So they just constantly grab words from other languages and in there.
But when they are speaking English, it's usually because the priest is in the conversation, and I don't think he speaks Tagalog at all.
No, he doesn't. But
he's Spanish or something.
Yes. Or maybe Portuguese?
Or Portuguese?
But anyway. But no, I just find it very interesting because when you're watching it, you'll be listening to them speaking Tagalog, and then within the Tagalog, you'll hear a bunch of English words in an otherwise non-English setting, and so it's always weird. Because at one point, they're like, non-English, 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 corridor. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I just hear the word corridor?
Comfort room.
Yeah, there you go. Like, there's no, like, hesitation to just jump, grab any word they need for any situation. It's very much like English in that respect. So it's just kind of weird. Because when I'm listening to someone speaking French, it's 100% French. But when you listen to someone speaking English, there's words from dozens of different languages dropped into English as necessary. So I always find it fun listening to Tagalog and seeing that same thing happen, but with English being dropped in from time to time. It's just a fun thing I have noticed about the language. But yeah, it's genuinely creepy. Like the lead lady, lots of good imagery, and I found it pretty affecting. Like, I really got on board with that ghost story.
Yeah, so basically the story being told in the movie is that there's this all-Catholic girls' school, and there's a rumor at the school about a girl who hanged herself in the bathroom like 15 or 20 years ago or something like that. And then when the movie starts, this girl, she has to go to the bathroom and nobody will go with her, so she goes by herself and she gets this like terrible fright in the bathroom and she leaves school. But everybody's really being really close-lipped about it or tight-lipped about it. And then a few days later, another girl is actually murdered on campus. And the police arrest the school's caretaker. But the school counselor, Patricia Consolacion, she doesn't believe that he is capable of murdering anybody. And if he did do it, well, he's been to the school since time immemorial, why now when he's like, you know, 80 or something like that? Why is he choosing this moment to finally kill somebody?
Yeah.
And then you find out that she speaks, she has these guidance sessions that she records, and she's actually speaking to a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this girl who hanged herself in the bathroom, but she's trying to like get the story out of her, what really happened, but the ghost is unforthcoming with the details of her suicide. And so that story of like what happened to the ghost is woven into this, what I will loosely call a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And then of course all these secrets about the school and what's been going on there and all this stuff. So yeah. Like, my synopsis is really simplistic, but there is certainly a lot more.
Because there's so much going on. You have to be simplistic about it, because there's a ton here, and I don't want to talk about the ending too much, except to say that I was really satisfied with how the mystery played out.
It ends so well, this movie.
Such a good finale, right?
It doesn't cop out at all. It just, this is our ending, and this is what we're doing, and you're going to love it. And you know what? You do.
No, I really loved it. It's got as strong an ending as I've seen to one of these movies in a while. I was 100% happy with that big finale, and like, I just like, I almost feel like I should have said, like, contacted you before this and say, here's the part of the movie we can't talk about anything after. It's like, what is the cutoff point for when it gets really good?
And
like, it's a 100-minute movie. Anything after 70 minutes, the whole last act is just, it gets good fast and it stays good and it has a heck of an ending. Like, just such a strong ending.
Such a good ending,
And I would really recommend, like, this is one of the things where we can't tell you really why, except that the characters are, like, the characters are very interesting. The central mystery is compelling in and of itself. Like, you really get on board with Pat, the main character. Pat, the main character, like, you get on board with her journey, and when you find out what she's going through, like, it's all really well done, and then it all comes to a head in this dramatic set piece that just, it's a big, long set piece that we can't tell you anything about, but it's like one of those things where so many times we've said, when a movie's got a great ending, we will say, it's gonna be a slog to get there, but it's worth it for the ending. Whereas this time we can say, no, the whole movie's a good experience, but the ending just pushes it way over the top to something you definitely have to see.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Okay, so I think we can just recommend this one overall without giving too much detail. If you trust us at all, this is one you're going to want to watch. So now we have to give a little bit of a look at... Something I can't recommend anyone watch.
So I brought this up, was it last week?
It was last week.
Last week. And at the time, I said I was at a loss to really explain or describe this movie. And then told you to watch it so that we could talk about it in greater detail. It's Death House.
I don't know what I just watched.
I was chatting with All Points Bulletin, and he was like, didn't I tell you not to see this movie?
I'm sure he did.
You did not.
Oh, he didn't?
I blame him.
I see. I thought he would be decent and tell people not to watch this
movie. No, maybe he intended to, or he thought that he had, because normally, like, you know, he'll be like, don't see this, or you definitely have to check this out as soon as you can. So, yeah. So just, I guess, slip through the cracks.
What was that?
Okay, here's my synopsis.
Please.
Two federal agents are assigned to a high-tech prison, but when a bomb goes off in the prison's ER or whatever, all the prisoners break loose somehow, and only five of the most dangerous people in history who live in the basement can get the agents out.
I guess.
That's my synopsis. The synopsis concludes.
What did I just watch?
Okay, like, so this is based on a story by Gunnar Hansen.
Oh.
Who sadly is no longer with us, so we can't ask him.
No. He is in the movie, though.
He is in the movie. And so this was one of those movies that's like, it's got all the great horror icons in it. You know, like bringing all of these people together for this one awesome movie. I originally thought this was about a Halloween haunt.
Well, no, with the title, that's a reasonable thing to think.
And I remember an advertisement to that effect, but I could just be like conflating Death House and something else.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Because,
I can't imagine how you cut a trailer that makes this look like it has anything to do with Halloween.
No, I don't think I ever saw a trailer. It was just
I thought you said
about it or something.
Oh, okay, reading about it.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, okay, so. There's a shower scene in this movie for no reason.
What? Oh, yeah.
There's a shower scene in this movie for no reason.
Well, it's there for two reasons. To see boobs. And for the characters to talk, or for the characters to inform the audience without realizing themselves that they are also
experiments. They are the first
experiments.
No, they are the first fully successful experiments this thing has done, and this is their test.
Yeah.
Like, what they're experiencing, it's all gone awry, but this week was supposed to be their test.
Right, so.
Of how well this reprogramming has gone. And the answer is pretty darn well, I guess.
Yeah, so this super-duper high-tech prison houses the worst of the worst, where they run experiments on the prisoners. One set of experiments is to reprogram them into being contributing members of society with strong moral compasses. The other set of experiments is to have the murderers constantly replay or like walk through their murders so that people can study them. And so for the murderer experiments, they have this endless supply of homeless people who they make up to look like the murderer's victims.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's reprehensible.
No, yeah, it's nightmarishly reprehensible. Although I thought what they were going to explain when they got around to going through these characters, what these characters went through. See, they just talk about studying the murders, but I had no idea where it was going, obviously, because it's a crazy movie. But my assumption was that the reason they were recreating the actual murders was so that they could fully map what was going on in the killers' brains when they committed their actual murders by having them recreate it in real life and actually kill people so that they could then target and erase those parts of their personality.
No, I think the...
But that's... No, that's not what's going on. That's what I thought was going on.
No, again, you're working too hard.
I know! No, totally.
No, because it's not that clear what sense. Exactly they're studying when they watch these murderers murder people over and over again, recreating the same murder scenarios from the murderer's past. I don't know what benefits we're getting from that, because the female agent, whose name is, what's she, her, it was like the last Rooker? Syllable of a woman's name.
Yeah.
It was dumb. I don't remember what it is anymore. Anyway, it took me a while to figure out what the fuck just happened, because she goes into a cell and then kills Danny Trejo. And it's like, what was that all about? And it's like, oh, he murdered her mother. So this is it's a reward for having completed her training to get into the prison, in which she joined a weird Nazi cult and had to kill two people herself.
Yeah, that was being run by Kane Hodder.
So it's like, okay, well, you have all these murderers that you want to study, but then you just let this woman kill one of them.
Yeah, as a, hey, thumbs up for, help for, signing up for a job. Of course, none of that's true.
But that doesn't matter.
But that doesn't matter.
None of that matters. Nothing matters.
That is a big part of the movie, the fact that nothing matters.
So, okay. So while these two agents are on their tour of the prison, this bomb goes off. And I don't understand how or why any of this happens. So outside of the prison, there's some commotion that draws the attention of one of the prison guards who's on foot patrol. He gets attacked.
Yep.
Outside of the prison. And
by a guy in a uniform.
I think some kind of Nazi uniform, I guess.
It's hard to tell. I mean, because it's all shot in the night vision green scope.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really tell. Maybe, I guess he works for Kane Hodder?
But I don't know. Anyway. Whatever.
Anyway, continue. That's not important to the plot. That's not important.
So he has his guts pulled out and a bomb shoved inside him. So he's, I guess, discovered by the other prison guards, is taken into the prison hospital where Lloyd Kaufman operates on him. He's still alive for some reason. I don't know how that's possible, but okay. And then the bomb explodes. And I guess that sets off some kind of weird chain reaction in which all the prisoners are freed from their cells. I don't know how that works.
All of them are freed from their cells. All the lights go out.
So the prison's supposed to go on lockdown, and there's some kind of special poisonous gas that's just going to kill everybody because we can't have them escaping into the real world.
Which makes sense. I mean,
but the poison gas doesn't get released, and it turns out that the five evils who are held in the basement control the poison gas? What?
Yeah.
So in the prison basement on the 9th level, there are these five prisoners who are referred to as the five evils, and they're, I guess, the worst people in history or something along those lines.
Yeah. One of them is people clearly so evil.
Countess Bathory. I don't know who the others are supposed to be.
It's not really clear, but they're all ones who are so evil that they have become immortal.
Somehow.
Because they have they have transcended, human, the human experience.
But that just,
they get this long monologue. No, you're right, it's not explained.
It's not explained. They're immortal, they wear some weird sci-fi getup, and they live in the basement.
Yes. So, and honestly, they seem kind of fine with it.
Yeah, they're perfectly okay with it. So during the course of this, I guess, prison riot, or whatever you want to call it.
I believe it's an asylum blackout.
That's a different movie.
I know, but it kind of happens.
Kane Hodder gains immortality.
Yes.
I have no idea what that's all about.
Well, again, there's... because he gives a speech about it where he's talking about how gaining the same understanding they have and, transcending humanity.
But what do they
just
understand?
Through knowledge and murder. But it's not really clear what they understand. And then when the guys... when the five evils start talking about their experience, they just do the most generic, what the U.S. government really wants is not to get rid of evil people, but to get rid of the concepts of good and evil entirely and make it so human beings are entirely passive things that just exist to work for the government.
Well, the prison, essentially, the goal of the prison is to engineer, I guess, like perfect people.
Yes.
In the sense that, no, there is no good and evil, but there isn't, but more importantly, there isn't evil. And so the five evils in the basement, I think, I don't know if they orchestrated the whole thing or they're just using this opportunity to tell the agents when they finally get there, it's like, we need to be set free so that there's always a balance of good and evil in the world. And it's like, I don't know if I really believe in that.
I don't agree with that at all.
We haven't gotten there yet. So
Okay.
Kane Hodder, he's now in charge. He's like become boss of the prison.
Yeah.
And he's like, we need to go to the basement to get out of here. The way out is the way, or, the way in is the way out. Okay,
Which
great.
isn't true. He just wants to meet the five evils.
He just wants to meet the five evils. And then, who is it? Dee Wallace tells the two agents, it's like, you need to go down to the basement. The five evils control the poison gas and just, talk to them. And you know what? They're really reasonable. They'll let you out. Don't worry about it. So,
Which is completely true. Like,
which
that turns
is
out
true.
to be
Okay,
true.
great.
In her defense, that is a fact.
So everybody winds up in the basement. And then they have this long, drawn-out conversation with the five evils who do a really bad job explaining what the whole point of the movie is. And then it's finally over.
And then it just stops. And I will say this, the weird part is, we find out that the brainwashing program ends up having like worked 100% because these two agents are not at all like troubled that neither of them remember their life at all,
No.
basically before getting here today.
And then when they find out that they have, in fact, been brainwashed by the prison, they're like, eh, well, you know.
Well, I mean, hey, it's our job. Like, let's go back to work tracking down supervillains. I'm
Yeah,
like, oh,
that's what we do
so
now. It's like, oh,
you're not
okay, all
questioning
right.
your role after finding out that you, that is thinking this, was entirely created by the government as try as an attempt to remove the concept of individuality and free choice from humanity? Your response is, well, I do what I do.
No, but they have a choice. It's like, well, I guess I'm a good person now, so well, I'll just do that. I'll do good things.
But yeah, but my point is,
That's
do
their
they have it?
choice.
They seem to be, but it's like they seem to be completely placidly accepting the creatures they've been turned into, because it doesn't even give them like a moment's pause that they used to be twisted murderers and now they're heroic federal agents.
Well, I think this is probably a better life, to be perfectly honest.
You're
So,
almost definitely right.
why not stick with that? If it's working out for you,
It's
why
true.
mess up a good thing?
You're right. They probably didn't. People don't become mass murderers because they had awesome childhoods.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
So, there's this moment when the federal agents are like working their way through the prison where they open this door, and Dee Wallace is just like, "Yeah, we're gonna hide in here. Just don't look him in the eyes. They're not gonna pay attention to you. Just stand close to the wall, and we'll kind of wait out the riot that's taking place in the hallway. We're just gonna hide in this room." And you go into the room, and it's like these weird, vaguely human, more
Troglodytes.
monstrous
They're troglodytes.
bodies covered in blood and gore, and I think they might communicate telepathically, and it's some kind of weird culty thing where they're like, we don't even want to be free anymore. This is our life now. It's like, and they're like eating a baby. It's like, what is going on in this room?
What possible, like, what possible research value is there to the ghouls who you keep locked up here feeding corpses to? Like,
Experiment gone wrong, and they're like, well, I don't really know how to shut this down, so we're just gonna lock it away.
here's a good way to shut it down. Fire. Fire will shut it down.
Maybe not, since there are immortal beings in the basement.
That's true. You're right. They might have tried fire in the past.
So, but it's just like this
So,
weird moment,
yeah.
but possibly maybe one of the better moments in the
Oh,
movie.
yeah. Because it is one of the, like, what the hell is happening crazy moments in the movie,
But
but
like
in a
one that
good
I'm
way.
interested in learning more about.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, it is
Even though
definitely
it's
a what the
actually
hell is
like
happening.
hard to look at.
Yeah. No, it's
And
rough.
really creepy in a satisfying way. It's like, give me more of that. I don't really give a shit about your prison break. I want to know more
Yeah.
about this failed experiment.
Yeah,
Also,
and the weird part is.
the three Satans are interesting.
Yes. Yeah, the scene with the three Satans, with the three different guys. And I like that the film punctuates its own pretentiousness at that point, where it's like, how weird is it that there's like three different guys? One who thinks he's Satan, and one who thinks he's Satan's son, and one who thinks he's the guy who created Satan. And then it's like, and then the response is, actually, Satan-related stuff is an incredibly common delusion.
Yeah.
Like, it's not strange at
I
all that you would have three of them. That's completely normal. It's a very
Yeah,
good
that was
line.
pretty good. It's like, wouldn't they all
Yeah.
just cancel each other out? It's like, yeah, just talk to them.
Yeah. And it's a fun scene, like the various Satans debating with one another. And I guess that's why I wanted more. It's fine that they decide that they have better lives who they are now, but it's like the main idea of the film, like everything that the villains are trying to do, the heroes, however you want to call it, the government people are trying to do, it deserves discussion, right? And when these people, it's so frustrating to me that when these people finally clue into the fact that they are the first successful result of the successful products of this experiment, that they have no reaction, like basically no reaction to it. And I'm saying you could end at the same place, because you're right. Being a heroic government agent who fights serial killers is a much better life than being a crazy throat-cutting murderer. Obviously, but it's like, get the characters there, you know? Like, take us on that journey with them, instead of just
No,
right
but
at the
I'm
end of
not
the movie
interested.
dropping
Quite
that
frankly,
in.
I'm not interested in that journey. I find it interesting that when they find out who they are, they're just like, eh, whatever. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, well, that's the whole point of the experiment, also.
I see your point, but I would just like, I think they could have eked more out of that to help make whatever the point the film was trying to make is. Because at the end of this, I don't know what point this film was
I
trying to
see
make.
this is
Like.
a thing. I don't think the movie has a point to make. Which is why you're getting hung up
Trying to
on
figure
the
out, yes.
agent's personal journey, wherein in fact it's really just about trying to understand what Tony Todd has to do with any of this.
What the hell is the farm?
He's at the beginning of the movie, the end of the movie, and he
The
kidnaps
movie.
women and other people, and then he'll like put some people in a hole in the desert, but then he'll put women in a van and they're going to the farm.
And he literally does psychic surgery on a woman.
Like, what
He
was
reaches his
that?
hand into her stomach, then he takes something bad out, and then he washes her off, and she's fine, and at the end of the movie, she's still fine. Like, what was that scene
No, that's a
about?
different woman at the end
Oh,
of the
you're no,
movie.
you're right, that's a different woman at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is, like, he does psychic surgery on this woman and says that she'll be better off on the farm than all those unlucky people down in the hole, and
Yeah.
all of this is happening just outside
The
of
prison?
the prison.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, is Tony Todd the one delivering them homeless people? Is that who he's throwing in the hole? But he's also taking select people from the group to the farm, which is a different thing that they tell us nothing about.
But those girls he's kidnapping aren't homeless people.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I say obviously, but then again, we only have the government's word that they're using homeless people.
That's true.
Like,
But what's
considering
the
that they have to
farm? This
find.
prison isn't known as the farm. Nobody
It's
calls it
not.
that.
No, it has nothing to do with the farm. And that's why I thought for a second maybe the people in the pit are the people being delivered to be victims when I find out about that part of the story.
Right.
But we don't get any closure on that at all,
No,
because.
I just, it's just, well, we need to slot Tony Todd in here somewhere. So here we go. He can bookend the film.
Yeah. But God, just guys, do what every other movie does and have Tony Todd just sitting behind a desk giving a monologue about good and evil. Seriously, I don't remember which one it was, but there's one where it's like Tony Todd sitting at a desk yelling about kangaroos. And I don't remember why he was yelling about kangaroos or what the point was, but he had like some allegory about how kangaroos are bad or something. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why is this in this movie?
And is that the one with the kids on the bus and they're all dead?
No, that's the one where he's at the rail museum.
Yes, okay, so that's not...
No,
okay.
The kangaroos is a different one, although I honestly do not remember which one it was.
God.
Yeah, it's bad. But yeah, this film is... No, you're not wrong to say it's incoherent. It is... It's incoherent. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've tried our best to figure out what they were going for, but this is one of those things where it's like... I would love... I wish Gunnar Hansen had lived long enough to record a commentary for this movie so he could explain his, like, storytelling process by which he came up with this idea. Because the thing is, I remember, like, the genesis of this years ago where, movie websites are talking about how Gunnar Hansen had an idea about all of the world's serial killers being held in one place, and he wrote this story for it, and they were going to turn it into a movie, and then it's like 10 years later, this is the movie that happened. But mm-hmm. all I remember is a couple of brief things about how it was his dream project he was trying to do, and he had this crazy idea. And now it's happened, and it's like, all I want to do is find out what was going through his head. Like, what did he think he was saying with this movie, if anything, or did he just think a bunch of this stuff was cool?
Well, it seems so incomplete.
Yeah.
So whatever he was driving towards, this movie, the story is not properly developed. So no. Who's to say? Mind you, he's in it, so I guess maybe he was okay with it to the point where he's like, yeah, you know, we'll make it and I'll be in it.
Yeah. But, and maybe it was like, we'll fix it in the edit. And then that never happened.
I don't know.
But yes.
I don't know.
It's definitely an interesting ride. Like, it's not a good movie by any definition of that. But there is enough craziness that while I won't necessarily recommend it, I will say that, like with the ghoul scene, like with the three Satan scene, like with the deeply weird scene with the five evils at the end, where you're just like, why isn't one of these guys Julian Richings? I don't understand why Julian Richings isn't here.
Because he's not a big horror icon. Like,
he's such a big horror icon.
The nameless woman whose count is Bathory.
I know, right? Oh, hi, it's an actress I've never seen before. Great.
Yeah.
What the hell just happened there? Come on. Like, it's all of the great evils and thing, and you can't get Julian Richings for one day in a dark room?
I know, everybody else showed up for, like, their 2 days.
I know, right?
Man, so it's just, like, moment to moment, it doesn't make any sense. It's so poorly structured that you actually, like, you spend more time thinking about what just happened instead of being in the present for what is happening.
Yeah, that is 100% accurate.
So it's hard. So you're always playing catch up with a movie until you realize that nothing makes any sense and you're just wasting your time.
Okay, so that is... Now that's your synopsis.
Like, that's really harsh.
No,
I understand that, but
it's
this
true,
movie
no.
isn't good. It
no,
has
it
to
is.
Be said.
And that's the thing. It's like, I agree that it's a waste of your time, but it's a waste of your time that I did find interesting in the ways it was a train wreck from time to time. And part of that is my own habit that you've often correctly criticized of trying to rewrite the movie as I'm watching it in my head. Like, and I felt that because there's so many weird things about this movie, I found myself trying to do that over and over again. But fundamentally, you're right that there's just, I don't think there is anything there.
No, there are two scenes that are really interesting and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. And honestly, you can load it up on Netflix and just watch those scenes without watching the rest of the film, and you won't have missed much.
No.
I think that's safe to say. All right, so that was Death House. I don't know why the prison is called Death House.
Nope.
They don't kill anybody. Like, they don't kill the prisoners there. Like, it's a weird thing to call it the Death House. One thing I will say, though, is I was going to make some criticism about it being the worst defended super secret military prison. Government prison ever. And it's like, how are they this bad at defending themselves that a guy can just walk up and slash a guy and put a bomb in his stomach? Yeah. But then I was going to make that comment. But then before we were watching the show, I was watching an old John Oliver. And it included the story about how a few years ago, everyone working at one of the nuclear silos fell asleep on the job overnight. And, like, they were woken up by a delivery man walking in with their, like, pizza.
Oh, no, that's because the door was propped open.
Yeah.
Because the door didn't close properly. And this guy delivered pizza to that silo all the time.
Yes, but also so the guys just, yeah, but that's my point. It's like, this is a nuclear silo. And apparently you can just walk in.
But it was so decrepit to begin with.
Yeah, so my point is that I don't actually have a hard time believing that this facility would have that bad defenses when that is what a nuclear missile silo is like. I was going to criticize, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe that's realistic.
Maybe.
All right, so do we have any narcissism we would like to watch?
No.
Okay. So no new episodes yet?
No new episodes yet.
All right.
Yeah.
For me, constant, a lot of new episodes over at Profiling Criminal Minds podcast, which you can check out on all major podcast clients. We just did a watch through of season 2 of Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. Which is really good. So if you
I'm only
partway
through it.
That,
so
okay,
and I was totally wrong about the baby in the garage.
I know, that's why I didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, did not see that one coming.
That was a brutal twist, huh?
But I cannot stand his wife.
I get that.
She is totally insufferable.
That. Yeah, I get that. You know, like it, I mean, on one level I understand where she's coming from, but you're right that it is. She is a very frustrating character a bunch of the time. Not going to disagree with you there. All right, so is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can listen to old episodes there. You can also leave us a comment and tell us what's going on in Death House, because we don't know. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you're listening on an app, give us 5 stars, because we don't have any and we really want them.
So I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things and say that until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.